Now back to the Tribune's Rick Pearson. It's the Sunday Spin on 720 WGN.
312-981-7200 is our phone number here as we begin our second hour of the Sunday Spin, beginning it in a great way with a little bit of a catered breakfast this morning, Sunnyside Up and Coffee Shop for breakfast. And Jasmine's posted on our Facebook page. You can find us at facebook.com/thesundayspin altogether. Jasmine, this is quite a layout you guys have been feasting on as I'm looking into the booth from the studio here.
Yes, this layout is extensive, and Steve Dale actually came and stopped by, and his favorite dish was just about everything. I can't lie. Just about everything. He had everything.
And I saw, you know, Schwann's got a smile on his face. I noticed he disappeared out of the monitor picture for about 10 minutes.
I'll be back.
Well,
at least he excused himself. You know what I'm saying?
I understand.
Of course I did.
He does have some manners. I might add. Yeah, but yes. So please save me some for after the show there. But thank you to Sunnyside Up and Coffee Shop. We've got a link to their Facebook page on our Facebook page.
Yes, and they're also on Twitter. And I said they were open from 8 a.m. to 3. It's actually 8 to 6. So they're open from 8 a.m. to 6 p.m.
So breakfast for dinner.
Breakfast for dinner.
Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. Well, it's all very good stuff. Thank you very much. And, geez, maybe there's a tie-in here because joining us now for this segment of the show is Sam Toya, who is the president of the Illinois Restaurant Association. Sam was named president in July of 2012. He's the co-owner of Leona's Restaurants, and he previously served as the chairman of the board of the Restaurant Association. Sam, thanks very much for joining me this morning on the Sunday Spin.
Thanks for having me, Rick. Yeah, I've been with the Restaurant Association for over 2 years now. I did leave my past restaurant touring days to concentrate on the Restaurant Association for the last 2 years. So thanks for having me.
Well, I wanted to have you on because, you know, this past week seems to have just been dominated in the news entirely by the issue of increasing the minimum wage. And, of course, we saw that the city moved ahead on its own to the state rate is currently $8.25 an hour. The city moved on its own to raise that to $13 an hour by 2019. Meanwhile, in Springfield, various efforts came to no conclusion on raising the state rate. And so now we're kind of as much as we joke about how Illinois always seems to be two states, there's Chicago and the rest of the state, that's really what it's become with the minimum wage rate. And that's something, I mean, you tried to mitigate against Chicago doing it on its own. But now you have this issue, and I think there are some valid concerns here of just if you're in a border area of the city to the suburbs, you jump the border and it's the $8.25 an hour rate.
That's right, Rick. You know, so all the way through, the Illinois Restaurant Association always said there should definitely be a reasonable increase to the minimum wage. We were working with State Senator Kimberly Lightfoot from the west side of Chicago and Maywood Hillside area. And, you know, we agree with a lot of things in our bill. The one thing we want to see is uniformity. So now, like you said, the city has raised its minimum wage. And there's 17 wards that touch 28 communities. As of July 1st, there will be a 21% disparity. When it gets to $13 and if the state stays at $8.25, there will be a 57% disparity. And I'm not sure it costs any more money, you know, to live in Little Village or Cicero, you know, Beverly or Calumet City. Beverly or Evergreen Park, Calumet City or Chatham. I think it costs the same. So we just want to see a uniform bill throughout the state of Illinois. And we do agree there should definitely be a raise to the minimum wage.
Were you surprised that the city decided to move ahead at Mayor Emanuel's urging on its own? Because it seemed that the task force that he had created basically said Springfield should have the opportunity to act first before the city moved ahead.
Rick, that's exactly what we thought. We thought that, you know, we were going to work on this at the state level, but then I guess some of the aldermen and the mayor wanted to move ahead before the state did, and we saw that they moved ahead last Tuesday, and the state was still, you know, meeting in veto session, and they didn't even, you know, get to it. You know, I think they started talking about it real seriously, like on Wednesday, but they, you know, we couldn't get to a bill that we all could live with because it was being piecemealed from Chicago throughout the rest of the state, as you opened up the show with.
Well, how much did Chicago doing its own really complicate the whole Springfield issue?
Well, I guess you would have to ask the leaders in the House and the Senate for that question. But as far as we were concerned, through the Restaurant Association, we were working on a reasonable increase to the minimum wage. We felt what Kimberly Lightfoot had in her bill was something we could live with. So that's what we were working on. And like I said, we wanted to see a uniform rate throughout the state of Illinois, because we've seen this play out before. If you go back and look at back in the day, you used to have a lot of gas stations in the Hegwisch community right there on Commercial Avenue, a lot of gas stations in the Beverly neighborhood. Now, if you go look in these border wards, you see no gas stations. You know, you go right over State Line Road, you see the gas stations. You go right over, you know, right into Evergreen Park or Oak Lawn and see all the gas stations. You also see this with auto dealerships. There used to be a lot of auto dealerships in the 8th Ward, the Chatham neighborhood, in the Beverly neighborhood, in the Hegwisch community. Now you go to Indiana to buy your car. You go to Oak Lawn to buy your car. Z Franks at Peterson and Western used to be one of the largest Chevy dealers in the Midwest. Now you go to Grossinger and Lincolnwood. So we've seen this play out before when you have, you know, they all move the gas stations and the car dealerships because of the difference in the tax rates. We're going to see the same now with the difference in the wages.
We're speaking with Sam Toya, president of the Illinois Restaurant Association, discussing the issue of the minimum wage and now the disparity between Chicago and the rest of the state. You're listening to The Sunday Spin on WGN. 312-981-7200. I'm Rick Pearson. This is your Sunday Spin, and I'm joined on the phone by Sam Toya, president of the Illinois Restaurant Association. We're talking about Chicago's increase in the minimum wage for the city, while Springfield took no action, either in increasing the state minimum wage of $8.25 an hour, or to try to curtail Chicago's increase in its own minimum wage. And Sam, I wanted to ask you about this whole issue of preemption, because it seemed to me the idea of the state being able to preempt Chicago's ability to raise the minimum wage, that was something that kind of stirred the mayor to take the action he did before the state lawmakers got a chance to consider the issue.
Well, obviously there must be, you know, something to that, Rick. Again, we just, you know, we've seen this also play out, you know, Indiana, Kentucky, Iowa, Wisconsin, Michigan always already have a lower minimum wage in the state of Illinois. That, you know, so it's a competitive disadvantage. And that's why we always were pushing for a uniform bill, because, again, we think a uniform bill is good for the state. It gives everyone a raise, from people in Elgin and Waukegan and Aurora, everybody. You know, and we were looking at a rate that would have been one of the highest in the country. So we're being very pragmatic about this, but we wanted it to be uniform rate. So that's what we were looking at. We didn't want to have a competitive disadvantage from Cicero to Little Village or Norwich to Edison Park. This is what we were looking for, you know, or Beverly to, you know, Evergreen Park.
Is it conceivable that, I mean, given the question of does Chicago have its own authority to raise its own minimum wage as a home rule unit, is it conceivable that there might be some legal action being contemplated here?
I know the business groups are looking at everything right now, Rick, so that's definitely on the table. Nothing's been dotted I's or crossed T's yet, but everything's being looked at by the business community. Again, we're looking for a uniform bill, so there could be one rate from Chicago to Waukegan and Waukegan to Calumet City. This is what we're looking for.
Could you explain, because when we talk about the minimum wage in common parlance of you know, this base wage rate, but there's also a rate for what's commonly known as tipped workers. And how does that play into this argument?
Oh, so in both the Kimberly Lightfoot bill and in even the city bill, there's still a tip credit there. You know, that's a wage you pay tip workers at a certain rate. Right now, it's like $4.95 an hour. And you have to still, let me make sure everyone, the audience understands this, you still have to make what the entry-level wage is. Right now, it's $8.25. So wait people, wait on tables, they get tips. We know what tips are nowadays because 75-80% of the people pay with debit or credit card. That goes right on your check. So you can see how many hours you work at $4.95. Then you can see how much you made in tips. Then that you should divide that, and that should be higher than what the minimum wage is. And so it's a tip credit plus your tips equal, you know, what your gross pay is. This was put into place back in the Reagan administration when Dan Rozenkowski was head of the Ways and Means, because the government wanted to make sure they were getting all their taxes on the tips. Because back before that, they, you know, wait people would just get tips and they never reported it.
They were so cash. Back then, everybody was paying cash.
Everyone was paying cash. Wait people were not reporting it. And then when Reagan and Rozenkowski did the overhaul, they gave a tip credit and then people had to claim their tips. So that's where that started from.
And so, I mean, both now Emanuel's bill raises that tip credit, I believe, in 50-cent increments to from $4.95 to $5.95.
And yeah, that's true, Rick.
And there were similar provisions that were included in the state bill that ultimately didn't go anywhere.
Yes, that was there too. I think in the state bill it was exactly where it was at in what we're working under right now, 60-40. It was a 60-40 ratio. So yes, they were both in both bills.
So, you know, we look ahead to the incoming General Assembly. We look ahead to the fact that we're going to have a new governor who has created conditions for increasing a state minimum wage. Where do you guys at the Restaurant Association, the retail merchants, other organizations, where do you guys fit in now as we go into this new General Assembly session?
Well, again, we'll work with Governor-elect Rahner and the legislation on a, you know, we'd like to keep working on a uniform bill, because I'm sure there's going to, you know, this is going to come up. You know, the people have spoken throughout the state of Illinois. It was 67% said that the minimum wage should be raised. Again, we are very pragmatic business people. We want to be at the table. We want to come up with solutions and make it fair for everyone. We thought that what we were working on with State Senator Kimberly Lightfoot getting to $11 was very pragmatic. It was taking care of the small business and taking care of the people at the same time, because $11 would have brought us to the highest minimum wage in the country. The only other states that's talking about bringing up or has voted on bringing it up to $11 is Massachusetts. So when I looked at this and I talked to my business counterparts, I said, you know, as all the leaders always say in the state, from the mayor to the Senate president to, you know, speaker to the governor, bring something to the table. So we brought $11 uniform bill, and that's what we want to keep talking about. But we did come to the table not saying no, but being pragmatic and trying to help the people and small business in the great state of Illinois.
Sam, there's been a number of people who said, when you look at the, for example, the Emanuel bill, and of course we know about there are other people who are campaigning to raise the minimum wage to $15. But there are people who said even with Emanuel's bill and you're looking at $13, that would take place 4 years from now. And Emanuel mm-hmm. says that, you know, that's a phase in that he says that's me listening to the business community, and that the business community can absorb that kind of a minimum wage. What do you say?
Well, Rick, on July 1st, it will be a 21% increase. It's going from $8.25, you know, to $10. That's a 21% increase. If I remember correctly, the city council and the mayor just negotiated some contracts with the fire and police, and I think that's an increase of, what, 2.5%, 3% a year? So to do a jump of 21% at one time is high. No question about that. In business, especially in the restaurant industry, there's only two things you can basically control. It's food cost and payroll. So that's why you're going to have a competitive disadvantage from restaurants on those 17 wards, you know, those 17 wards, and then those 28 communities butting up to it. There's going to be a competitive disadvantage. So that's why we're trying to get a uniform bill so there is no competitive disadvantage. But as of July 1st, it will go up 21%.
And, I mean, is the restaurant business, you know, essentially very cost-sensitive?
Very, very cost-sensitive. The average restaurant only makes 3 to 5% a profit margin. And throughout the country, I think the average restaurant employs about 17, 18 people. Again, it's a small business. There's 517,000 people that work in the restaurant food service industry here in the state of Illinois. When we do over $22 billion in sales, there's 25,000 restaurants. But it is definitely a small business. If you look at the restaurant industry, it's always, you know, the immigrants have always been the backbone of the restaurant industry, starting with the Eastern Europeans, the Italians, the Greeks, the Asians, the Africans, the Latinos, and the Mexicans. This is an industry that the immigrants become entrepreneur. It's still one of the industries that you can, you know, grow in without a college degree.
And it's definitely part of the neighborhood fabric of the city of Chicago as well.
Absolutely, Rick. Here's the other thing. So we want, you know, the mayor's been talking about getting 55 million visitors or more a year to the city of Chicago by 2020. To get that many visitors here, you need to push them in the neighborhoods. You need to push them to Logan Square, Avondale, Rogers Park, Hyde Park. If we do that, then we'll get the 55 million visitors a year or more. This is what you see in London and, you know, France. They've pushed them out to their neighborhoods, and that's why you get more visitors. So that's what we're trying to do here. But what pushes them out to the neighborhoods? It's the restaurants. We have a vibrant celebrity chef restaurant community here in the city of Chicago. And a lot of these restaurants are opening up in the neighborhoods because these chefs can go to these neighborhoods. They can be, you know, competitive pricing. You know, you can get real estate, commercial real estate at a nice price, and you open your restaurant. Now some of these chefs that I've talked to, they'll look at other communities, like maybe going to Arlington Heights or Park Ridge, you know, because you're going to have a competitive disadvantage on the pricing. Somebody then said maybe they go to Milwaukee. So you got to keep all that in mind when you're looking. Central Business District, no question about it, it's always going to be the Central Business District. But we want to open more restaurants in the neighborhood in these 17 wards. And it's going to be difficult when you have 28 communities with a 21% disparity in wages starting on July 1st, going up to possibly 57% disparity.
Well, this we'll be watching and seeing how this all plays out. And Sam Toya, president of the Illinois Restaurant Association, thank you very much for joining me this morning on the Sunday Spin. And also, I'm a big fan of the Chicago Gourmet Festival. I got to tell you that.
Oh, that brings a lot of people into town, Rick. Thank you.
So thank you very much. We'll be back with more right after this.